Shameless Media.
This episode of Everybody Has a Secret is brought to you by Menulog. Have the unexpected delivered. Ever wondered if someone's having an affair, if their money is a little suspicious, or if the rumours about their family are true? We think everybody is carrying around a secret. And this show, well, it's all about spilling them. Welcome to Everybody Has a Secret. My name is Annabelle Lee, one of your hosts and ultimate secret sharers. Hello to my fabulous co-host, Louis Hansen. Hi, Louis.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, Louis. And bonjour to our delightful producer, Ruby Hall.
Hello.
Ruby.
Oh, my God. I've never heard that noise come out of your mouth before.
Neither. I'm just testing it out.
I'm quite used to the hee-hees from you. We were talking before off mic that I realized suddenly that both Ruby and Louis love to say hee-hee. In the moment, I feel like when it's like a lull in conversation or when there's like an awkward silence or something, you guys are going, hee-hee.
Yeah. And I've come to realize that I am the type of person where I will find a phrase or just like something and I'll fixate on it for about 3 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example, this week, all I've been saying is, if somebody says something, I'll respond being like, and I've always said that. And if like the dog barks, I'll just go, and I've always said that. And I can't stop saying it. But also, I realize I'm saying hee hee after everything.
That is really funny because it's so fresh and unique. I tend to fixate on the words that are like, you know, so 2023. I'm still saying slay and I hate that about myself because I know the moment's over.
The moment's over. It's now.
It is.
Yeah.
Like serving.
Yeah. Like, The death of slay has given birth to
yes, yeah. But my thing is that like I've long been a person that can't really say the see you next Tuesday word.
Okay, yeah. And that's
fair. It's a psychological thing, but I want to say it and it's going to be my new word. Watch this space.
One day Annabelle is going to say see you next Tuesday. Yeah. And it's going to be very exciting for all the listeners.
Yep. Maybe I'll sprinkle it throughout this episode. Who knows? If people are real dickheads in this episode, yeah. I'm going to say it. Guys, as always, it's time to play a game. Ruby, what are we playing today?
Today we're playing Truth or Consequence.
Ruby's looking me directly. As soon as Ruby said that, she looked me directly in the eyes. So why am I assuming that this involves me?
Well, yeah, today it is your turn, Louie.
Oh, sucks to be you.
I'm going to ask you a juicy question that you're probably not going to want to answer. And if you don't, that's totally fine. But if you choose not to answer, then you will be faced with a consequence, a mystery consequence. I'll reveal after you've made your decision. Mm-hmm. Are you ready for the truth?
No.
I hate this game so much.
I thought that once I graduated into weekly podcasting that I wouldn't have to do this shit anymore, listeners. I hope that reverbed.
Yeah, it did.
I can't believe I'm still doing this. But anyway, keep going.
Well, Louis, you're now at
yes,
home.
Ruby? Yes, my love? What's up?
You're now a homeowner. Congrats.
I am.
Well, today, we'd love to get you to share with us every juicy financial detail involved with purchasing your first home. Oh. From how much money you saved, how much you spent, and maybe how much you received from your family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad this isn't me. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure my time is coming, so I shan't speak too soon.
Would you like to answer the truth or would you like to pick consequence?
Here's the thing. Even when it comes to like talking salaries, talking about, you know, money that you get for different gigs, I'm always about that transparency.
Yeah. Mm.
But
I sensed a but coming.
But when it comes to my home.
Mm. Your sacred space.
My sacred space. I've always been cautious about, you know, trying to maintain that privacy with my home. Mm,
totally.
It's like my one haven. So I'm going
to
pass.
Yeah, I would have passed as well, to be fair. Yeah.
I'm going to pass.
And you know what's coming though, right? Like,
Okay. Yes.
It's only hell from here, just to reiterate for everyone.
Louis, please get out your phone.
Oh!
Open a dating app you're currently using and hand it over to Annabelle, who now has every right to take a little peek. But don't worry, we won't read your conversations with anyone.
Uh-huh.
We'd just like to see your profile page and ask you a bit about it.
Okay. Actually, do you know what?
Are you I feel like people are proud of their profiles is the thing.
I'm keen on this. Do you want to go on my Hinge?
I would love to go on your Hinge. Oh, my. I can't wait to see the photos you put up. Because I'm sure your profile's funny.
Do you know what? I'm going to be self-critical. I think it probably could be funnier. But I want you to be completely honest about my profile. I want you to tell me what I'm doing right, what I'm doing wrong, and what you'd need to see more of from me.
I genuinely think I'll only have positive thoughts. Because you know, I've said it multiple times, I'd date you if I could. So
please.
Watch me go on, you're probably like, oh my God, yes, slay, slay, serving, see you next Tuesday.
So, okay, I've just handed Annabelle my phone and I'm showing her my profile as we speak.
Right off the bat.
Unpack it.
Right off the bat, so hot. First photo, shirtless, because like rightly so.
I'm getting flustered.
You are, I'm thinking, somewhere overseas in that first photo.
I was in Corfu, no less, in Greece.
Oh yes, lovely, lovely, yes. Lovely. He is
traveled.
A traveller. Yes. Yep. He's keen to go on a trip with whoever's interested. My Cry in the Car song is his first prompt. Katy Perry, Last Friday Night, Simlish version.
Yes.
Funny! That is so funny!
Yabby dancel table doop. You know?
I love.
It's emotional.
And that's what I've always said.
I've always said that.
And then you've got a photo with a friend and it's giving wholesome. Whoa! And then you've got a proper professional, like, at an event slay photo with Rushi.
Oh yeah.
So Fire. So
this is giving
is it giving catfish?
No. This is like what I'm seeing in this photo and what I'm looking at right now in the studio. Same.
Whoa.
Together we could is the next prompt. Watch the animated recreation of the Titanic sinking in real time, 2 hours and 43 minutes. What do you mean this isn't a funny profile? What do you actually mean? The best way to ask me out is by next prompt. Nudging me on MSN. Okay, a throwback.
A throwback.
Which we love.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a question that you don't have to answer. What's your age range?
My age range? Honestly, I think it's really broad. It's I think it's 20 to 50.
Oh, yeah.
No, I think it's just you just want to see what's out there. But for who would I match on or talk to? I want to probably be the younger.
Yeah.
So I'd probably say around 28, 29, 30 would be ideal.
Yeah.
Or mid 30s. Yeah. I just want a mature man. Yeah. You know? I want someone who's lived life a bit.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I do not want to date a younger man.
No.
Don't do it.
Yeah, been there, done that.
That's often been a theme of mine though. My desire is to date someone older, but for some reason I fucking fall into these situationships with these younger boys.
Do you know what it is? And I think we all fall into the same category, the three of us, is that we're all a bit silly, goofy energy.
Yes.
But up here, I'd like to say, in the brains, we are mature.
Yeah.
But we have hello. I'm an adult here, but I think that's why.
Yeah.
And then the final pick is a beach photo. Again, I think you're overseas. Italy?
Nice.
Nice.
Out of 10, what do you genuinely think?
Genuinely 10.
What?
I swear to God, I'm not even just saying that.
Whoa.
Because your jokes as well, they weren't cringe.
The Simlish one has been a hit, I feel.
Yeah.
But that being said, if anyone wants to match me, go ahead, because not many are coming through.
And I hate that about Hinge. Sorry, Hinge, if you're listening. I mean, you know when they feed you people? It's all over TikTok when people are is that what you think works?
Yeah. And then it's would you like to send a rose to this person? And it's my most recent ex. Yeah. I'm
I'd like to send the opposite of a rose, whatever that is. A pile of shit. Anyway, Louis, thank you so much for sharing. Honestly, you put me in the best mood because that was a very, very funny profile.
Why don't I keep the listeners up to date with my Hinge journey?
Please.
Because right now it's a bit barren. But if anything exciting happens, I'll keep you all posted.
We very much appreciate that.
Dating era.
Love a dating story.
Yeah.
Rubes, I think it's time we hear today's secret, if you'll do the honours.
It is. Our team has been so excited to share today's secrets with you. We've got a bit of a theme going too. We know that work gossip is some of the best gossip. So I've got three workplace drama secrets to read to you today.
Let's go.
Are you ready for number one?
Yes, please.
The secret comes from listener Amy. I feel like I'm stuck in the middle of a pretty sticky situation at work and I don't know what to do. I work with two young women, let's call them Mel and Lara. They're both fairly new to the company. Mel's been working with us for about 3 months and Lara joined in Feb. But as soon as they started working together, they hit it off. Like instant best friend vibes a couple of weeks in. They're also very new to the workforce, having both completed their university degrees last year. About 4 weeks after getting to know each other and spending every waking moment in the office together, as well as hanging outside of work too, Lara took a couple of weeks off for a pre-planned holiday in Byron Bay. While in Byron, Lara recognised someone at a local pub. When she ran into him at the bar, she realised it was Mel's boyfriend and was so excited she sent Mel a snap of them together with the message, "Look who I ran into." Mel knew her boyfriend was surfing in Byron at the time, but was still so shook by this coincidence. The next day, Mel received a call from her boyfriend saying he had slept with Lara that night and that he was breaking up with her.
That's not what I thought was going to happen.
Mel couldn't believe what she was hearing. Her boyfriend of 3 years was breaking up with her, with a girl that he'd only just met, who had very recently become Mel's work wife. In the office, Mel was in a constant state of emotional distress and tears, so I regularly checked in on her to make sure she was okay. She took a few days to divulge this information to me, and I was mortified. I also knew our leadership team would want to know about this, given these two women are supposed to work so closely together. They're not just in the same department. Their desks are across from each other.
Oh, dear. Someone's got to quit.
Despite it being confidential, I told Mel this was the case and carefully advised her to raise this with HR so Lara could be allocated to a different department. Mel was adamant she didn't want to make a bad impression at her first full-time job, especially as she's only a few months in, so she didn't go to HR. The day Lara came back to work, she hard-launched her boyfriend, Mel's ex, on her TikTok.
On her TikTok? Was it a video? Were they like a boyfriend-girlfriend outfit of the day?
They were like hitting the woe together. Yeah. Like.
Word quickly spread to the rest of the team that her new partner was Mel's ex, because all of Mel's recent TikTok videos are with the same man. And everyone put two and two together about why Mel was coming into work crying every day.
Oh, Mel, my heart.
And they dated for 3 years, was that right? Her boyfriend of three years.
3 years. Fucking hell, what a douchebag.
Mel is working directly across from Lara at work, but many people in our team have offered to swap with her by making up excuses like, "The glare on this desk is really bothering me. Do you mind swapping?" etc. Despite everyone in the team knowing what Lara did, she is still shamelessly posting online. She even had the audacity to post a picture of her and her new boyfriend wining and dining with the caption, "The boy is mine."
Oh my God, that
what
is so
What the fuck is
pointed.
Going on? What the what fuck? The what the actual fuck?
The boy is mine.
The boy is mine?
Oh, grow up.
No one has confronted Lara about what went down. In fact, she's actually really personable and has still made lots of friends in the department. At the same time, we all feel so bad for Mel and we don't know what to do. What do you think I should do? Everyone at work knows. I'm an empathetic person and I hate to see how this is impacting Mel. It's hard to get over an ex, especially when they've broken up with you for someone else who you now have to work with. Should I give HR the heads up and let them know what's happening? Amy.
Amy!
Oh my God, Amy. What a tricky position. I mean, it's so tricky being in Mel's position, obviously, as the person who this all happened to. But being the person watching on and being the person that Mel is leaning on, whatever, it's a lot. That's fucking so heavy.
I'm just thinking about Lara hard launching her boyfriend on TikTok the day she comes back to the office.
And then the next TikTok being captioned, "The boy is mine." Sorry, that's so cringe.
One word. Audacity.
The audacity!
The audacity for Lara to come into the workplace to befriend Mel and, like, not even befriend Mel, but for them to be work besties, to then run into Mel's boyfriend, take a selfie and send it back to Mel, being like, "Oh my God, look who I ran into." And then for them to sleep together. And the next morning for the boyfriend to be like, hey, yeah, I slept with Lara last night. We're breaking up.
What?
What?
What was the psychology behind that? From all perspectives, especially Lara, she obviously thought he was hot. Like, why would you, were you trying to kid yourself? What the hell? It's just like the weirdest way to go about all of this. The work wife thing is interesting as well, because like you enter a new workplace or whatever and you bond with someone, which is so fair. And like, I feel like everyone goes through that experience. It's always nice to be able to form those friendships at work.
It sounds like Lara's come back to the workplace and is just like so unapologetic.
Yeah.
I'm almost so curious to hear from Lara or the boyfriend slash ex-boyfriend, because I'm so fascinated behind their psychology. Like, yeah. I want to peep inside their brains and go, hello, do you have remorse? Because right now it sounds like neither of them have remorse, and that's pretty fucking wild.
If anything, and I obviously this is so heartbreaking for Mel, but if anything, surely there's like a huge portion of her brain that's going, well, they belong together. I'm so glad. A part of me is glad that they found each other and they're out of my life this way. The painful thing is that she has to see Lara, obviously, every day. And I wonder what I would do if I was in Mel's position. Because I know I said during that secret readout, Rubes, that someone's got to quit. And I'm sure if I was in this workplace and Lara wasn't making a move and I had to sit through this torture of working with her every day, I'm sure I would feel compelled to quit. Like, what is Mel supposed to do?
It's almost like if she quit, like, Lara's won in a way. Like, she got the man and now, like, you know, Lara's staying in the workplace. My ego would be like, I'm staying. Like, this is my career. I've just left uni. I deserve to, you know, focus on my job. Well, I'm just so shook by this.
Yeah. And I guess it's also like, that said, I know I said, oh, I would just quit because it'd be so emotional, whatever. But maybe I would also want to prove that I don't give a fuck. Like, oh, you guys are so fucked up. You do you, I guess. And I'm going to stay here and I just don't care anymore. Like, I know she does. But surely you get to a point where you're like, oh, you guys are just like that messed up. Yeah. I don't want to let you win, as you say. And I can just get over this because I deserve to be here.
I also understand why Mel wouldn't want to go to HR. I remember when I like first got my 9-to-5, even if there was like a slight drama or anything, not to any degree as severe as this, but you want to make it appear as though, you know, you don't come with any drama, you're a hard worker, you know, you're a diligent worker. And I'm sure Mel just doesn't want to come into this workplace and already have the company embroiled in this scandal. Like, I understand the want for her to kind of be like, no, I'll figure this out myself. That being said, though, that is fucking tricky.
I also understand the hesitance, even though she's my coworker and this is very much affecting my work. This kind of happened outside of work. Yeah. But again, I do think that HR like should be involved, and maybe Amy's the person to raise that. Let's circle back to the whole TikTok thing. Because I want to know. Okay. Do you think there's
any... No. Sorry. Finish your question. Sorry. Sorry to interrupt.
Do you think there's ever a right time to hard launch something like this? Like when there's cheating involved? Because it happens. Whether we like it or not, Louie, cheating happens. And relationships stem from something like this. Is there a respectful amount of time you're supposed to wait before you hard launch a relationship?
Well, I don't know. I'm like, is there ever a time to hard launch on TikTok? Probably not. My queen, what was the impact that you hoped you were having with this hard launch? I would be waiting to hard launch until it was our marriage, our wedding day. Or maybe after you'd had one or two kids.
Yeah, like, this is legit, guys, I swear.
Yeah, this is legit. Before then, you did not see any trace of us on the internet together until we're married and you know it's a legitimate family.
No, I back you on that. I'm with you. I agree. I totally agree.
Because everything else just feels icky.
Yeah, you'd need to wait a substantial amount of time before you... this is, I mean, whatever our conclusion is, this, what they did, what Lara and What's-His-Face did...
Yeah.
Wrong. Way too soon. Shouldn't have done it like that.
What would you do if you were Amy in this situation?
Look, I have respect for Amy, and I think it's very sweet that she cares about Mel's well-being, but I don't think there's anything she can do, if I'm being real. Like, I don't think that the situation truly involves her, and if Mel doesn't want to take it to HR, you know, and Mel wants to try her best to separate the personal dramas and, like, workplace setting, then I think Amy should just let it be and then just try to support Mel in any way she can, like, to be a supportive friend and a co-worker. But apart from that, I don't think there's much she can do. What do you reckon, Annabelle?
Yeah, I agree. Depending on how close Amy is with both of them, like, is this really meddlesome of me? I would ask Mel what she wants.
You would key Lara's car.
Yeah. Or like, I would ask Mel what she wants from the situation. If she wants an apology, I would maybe go and meddle and tell Lara, like, apologize to my girl Mel. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. But then that's why I'm like, maybe we should get HR involved. But I'm so confused because you said it was maybe not her place. And I kind of agree with that as well. But instead of meddling, it's probably better to go to someone who has the tools to be able to make it a better working environment, and maybe it is in her place to go to HR. Like, is that not what HR is for?
I don't know.
What does HR respect to those who work in HR?
Respectfully,
can someone tell
us, get it.
Do no. you have parameters? People who work in HR, come and tell us, is there stuff that you're not allowed to deal with and not allowed to touch? Because this could come under the like whole, oh, this isn't within my scope sort of thing. But if it is, I think Amy should go to HR.
Okay, so you're pulling out the HR card.
Kind of like, oh yeah, tell mum and dad, let's dob, because...
Okay, and my HR card is still firmly in my pocket.
Guys, I think it's time to hear the next work-related secret. Ooh, but we will do that right after the break.
Before we get back into the episode, we've partnered with MenuLog to bring you a little extra secret. It's all about secret menu orders.
Ooh, let's hear it.
Thank you.
I love to order some ridiculous dessert, like a whole tub of Ben and Jerry's or some Sam Churro. That really does not justify the delivery cost, but I love it anyway. Delish.
Delish.
Delish indeed. When you're in the mood for a little ridiculous dessert, yeah, nothing else matters. So I feel you. It's all hands on deck to get those churros from A to B, aka from the kitchen to your mouth, ASAP, baby.
Oh yeah, when you need a whole tub of Ben and Jerry's, you need a whole tub of Ben and Jerry's. I actually do this sometimes with Ben and Jerry's. There's no time
really?
For messing. Yeah, genuinely, no time for messing around.
Sorry.
I gotta get it ASAP.
Say less. Well, you know, to the listener, I think A, don't be guilty, and B, I think it's time to up that dessert game even more. Like, we can take it up a notch. Why not the Ben & Jerry's and some Sanchuro?
You can't have one without the other, and delivery is the only way to do it.
Yes, ma'am. If you're looking to have the unexpected delivered, download the MenuLog app now to see everything they have to offer.
Thank you so much to MenuLog for making this episode of Everybody Has a Secret possible. All right, it is time, guys, to hear the second secret of the day. Thanks so much, Rubes.
This workplace drama is from Caitlin.
Don't make me too panicked, Caitlin.
Hopefully this is really chill. It's like, my secret is I love my job and yes. Work is amazing. The end.
Right.
I have a confession to make. It all unfolded last week at work and I've been feeling pretty conflicted about it. It was a pretty typical day in my beauty salon when a loyal client of mine, let's call her Tess.
Hi, Tess.
Oh, turned up teary. Sorry, I'm reading ahead.
No. And deeply distressed.
Oh, Tess.
Oh, Tess.
She was very open and explained to me that she'd had the worst month. She was going through a breakup while simultaneously mourning the loss of a relative. I had met Tess before, so I knew the backstory of her relationship breakdown. She'd been exploring polyamory with a married couple, James and Lisa, and had found herself falling in love with James. I suggested Tess go home and look after herself, to come back another time. I felt heartbroken seeing her in this state. She was clearly devastated, and I wanted to make sure she could process her emotions in privacy. But she reassured me she was fine and decided to stay. I couldn't force her to leave, so I agreed and let her be. There were also other clients in the busy salon at the time, and I didn't want to seem unkind, so I was willing to take her word that she would be okay. Moments later, she began to live stream her relative's funeral from her iPhone during her nail appointment.
Oh my God.
All keys, I know, but what was I supposed to do? I could see heads starting to turn to confirm if this was truly playing out. A little while later, another client arrived, and it happened to be Lisa, James's wife, and Tess's now, well, I guess, ex.
Oh my God.
This shit does not happen.
And I know sometimes people message us and say, you made this up.
People
Guys,
do.
This is fucking real.
This is real.
But I get it because this doesn't sound real.
Because you cannot script this shit.
No.
It was a crazy coincidence.
Yeah.
Okay, literally picture this. They start walking in. The funeral is still live streaming in the background.
Oh my God.
You're joking.
You gotta be joking, Ruby. She's not.
Jesus.
Nah, not a joke. The timing couldn't have been worse.
Yeah, you're telling me. You are telling me, babes.
I had no idea what to do. I knew how messy the breakup had been for Tess, and she was not in the right headspace to face Lisa today of all days. Once Lisa recognised it was Tess, she approached her and offered her condolences. Tess did not appreciate this gesture in the slightest. In fact, she began yelling at Lisa, screaming at her to get the fuck away. Now the rest of the clients in the salon were looking shocked and horrified. At the time, I felt it wasn't my place or time to intervene, and that I had to remain impartial and professional. Thankfully, a colleague assisted me getting them as far away from each other as possible. Once we got them apart, Lisa decided to leave my salon, and I quickly tried to calm down Tess and finish off her nails in total shock. My workday went on as usual, and none of the staff ever questioned what all the fuss was about. I felt embarrassed. My colleagues were giving me weird looks, and a few tried to probe, but I knew it wasn't my place to say anything. I also still couldn't help but worry about poor Tess. Do I need to confront Tess about her behaviour in my salon? Or does she need to be barred altogether? I worry about how we come across when things like this happen in my business. Caitlin.
Oh, Caitlin. Let's start from, there are so many key moments in that secret. Let's start with the live streaming of the funeral. Louis, do you think it's ever okay to live stream a funeral in public at somewhere like a nail salon when there are other paying customers?
I've never heard something like this before.
Mm-hmm.
Nor do I want to tell someone how they should grieve.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard because I'm like, do I think it is the most like rational thing? No, but I also understand that when you're grieving, things often are irrational.
Things don't make sense, yeah. And it's allowed to be that way.
Obviously, Tess is like a loyal customer and the nail salon, it seems, is like her happy place.
Yeah.
But also it sounds like because people around her were like looking, it wasn't just in her AirPods or something, it was like loud.
Mm.
In that case, I don't necessarily think it's fair to like impact the other people around you. Like if you're mourning, it's your journey.
Yeah.
But you don't have to like loudly live stream the funeral in the whole salon.
Like
right?
Other people are coming to a nail salon thinking, this is my happy place and I'm going to do my thing, get my nails done, and then not expecting to hear a funeral playing.
Yeah, like they are paying for a service as well.
Totally.
But like that being said, if I was in a nail salon, which would be nice, I actually might go to one
after
of those
this, because we're going to need to decompress after this.
Yeah. If I was in a salon and the person next to me was live streaming a funeral, I wouldn't care or be offended or upset.
I wouldn't say anything as well. No. Absolutely not. Or expect anyone to say anything, to be honest.
Yes. Yeah. I personally wouldn't care. So I'm not going to say that it's inappropriate.
Yeah.
But it is very interesting.
Am I crazy for saying that I don't actually think Caitlin should do anything? I would just let this go as a once off. If she's been a loyal customer for however long and nothing like this has ever happened, I mean, it's a pretty extraneous circumstance right now where she's got like someone in her life has just died and she's going through this huge breakup, and that person who was in that relationship comes into the room and she's going through all these really heightened emotions. I would sort of just be like, fuck, that sucks. You check in with Tess, see if she's okay. But I don't think you ban her from your salon.
Completely. No. I mean, the fact that Caitlin does say that Tess is a loyal customer means that she knows her well.
Yeah, and you know this is going on in the first place.
Exactly. I completely agree with you that this sounds like it was just a really horrible day.
Yeah.
For Tess. And that it very well could be a once-off.
Mm.
It sounds like they have a relatively close relationship. If I were Caitlin, I would just call Tess, and not necessarily to be like, hey, that was out of line, or, you know, you're barred. Like, by no means should she be barred, but I would just call her and be like, hey, what happened yesterday? That was a lot. Like, how are you feeling? Are you okay? Are you feeling better? Like, I'm here if you need, and almost to just reach out as more of a friend.
Yeah.
And I think that in itself may send a little subliminal message to be like, okay, that obviously wasn't good.
Yeah.
And it can't happen again.
Out of character for you, Tess.
Out of character. Yeah. Exactly. I feel like that's all she really needs to do. But I mean, yeah, Tess is fucking going through it. She's grieving. Do I condone her telling Lisa to get the fuck away? Absolutely not. But once again, like, when you're grieving, you're going through it.
Caitlin, call Tess. See if she's okay. Check in.
Give her the benefit of the doubt. Call her as a friend.
If it happens again, then it's like, okay.
Yeah. You know. But I reckon everybody should have their once off card.
Yeah.
That, you know, sometimes we just have a shit day.
Exactly. I feel like one day someone's going to come and do something like shocking to us, and then they're going to be like, well, I listened to your episode and you said that one time I could get a once off card. And
it's
so
the once-off
that's why
card.
I cheated on you. And it's like, oh, great. All right, Rubes, final secret.
Yes.
Envelope number three.
Third and final.
All right. This secret is from Joe. I've been entangled in an affair with a work colleague. Let's call him Dan.
Oh my God, my brain.
Years.
Hi, Dan.
4 years.
For context, we work in an industry where you can be moved around quite a bit, but somehow Dan and I always end up in a similar location. Our affair has been an up and down ride, and I've even tried ending it on multiple occasions, but we just seem to keep coming back together. One time when I was at my wit's end about the lying and the deception, I even told his partner Simone and texted her all the details of our affair. Ultimately, she blamed me, forgave him, and stayed with him. Even after this, he still wanted to continue the relationship, and much to my regret, I let him. We fell pregnant after this.
Oh my God.
But decided not to keep the baby.
Shit.
I couldn't ruin Simone's life more than I already had. This destroyed me. This pregnancy and termination became a bit of a tipping point for me, and I decided to leave him and move work locations in order to get space and clarity. But the spanner in the works was that he decided to follow me. We began working together again and fell into old habits. And before you knew it, our bond was stronger than ever. Over the next 2 years, we planned sleepovers and dates. It was really fun, and we had the best time. We even spent every day and night texting, planning the next time we'd see each other, and even booked a holiday.
Yikes.
Damn.
And then one day, I woke up and knew I had to end it. So I did, cold turkey. We still had to work together after this point, making work so awkward. Every day I had to go into work and face this person I felt so conflicted about. I feel horrible for the role I played, but part of me thinks I did try and tell his partner. She blamed me and believed he was innocent. In truth, Dan was the one who emotionally controlled us both. He is also guilty. Simone knew as much as she needed to know. I truly didn't want to hurt her any more at this point. I know it's wrong, but her accepting his behavior and forgiving him felt like it was no longer my moral burden to carry. I feel kind of guilty about the affair now. On reflection, it's not justified and it's a terrible secret to be caught up in. Of course, at the time, it was so hard to see what was happening clearly. There are so many layers to the story. I'm still with my current partner, Isaac, who I cheated on with Dan.
Oh, does Isaac know?
But in my defense, I was still pretty new to the relationship with him at the time.
So she's always been with Isaac?
Once I knew I loved Isaac.
Ruby's like,
stop asking questions.
Fucking listen, bitch. Shut the fuck up and listen. Louis?
No. It's all in the secret.
just wait, you impatient little thing.
Once I knew I loved Isaac, something had to give and I chose him. I regret that I started the relationship unfaithfully, but I know now I would never cheat again. I didn't think I'd be a cheater or caught up in such a scandal. It just sort of happened. I don't think Isaac will find out. At least I hope not. I've done a lot of work on myself, therapy included, to resolve the issues and find some closure to why I acted this way. I feel better now. I can acknowledge and accept that I played a huge role in a scandalous affair. I used to judge people in this position, but now I feel empathy for those caught up in it. Considering I've now done the work, is it acceptable that I never reveal this truth to my current partner, Joe?
Let's start with the 4 years, because that is just a really, really, really long time. No brainer, obviously, to have an affair. The Isaac thing really caught me off guard because she was involved with someone as well. What do we think, Louis? How are we feeling? I know it's a lot.
4 years is a long time.
Yeah.
Especially to be in a situation that you know isn't the best. Mm. And to keep going back to someone for 4 years, that's That's not a little like blip in the matrix, you know? That's a lengthy, considered time.
Mm. And I guess once you keep dipping, it becomes like a routine.
Yeah.
Quite like a familiar thing to dip back into. Not excusing, obviously. It's just so interesting because, as we heard, Simone found out, Joe told Simone, and she decided to forgive Dan anyway.
Yeah, that's a fascinating part.
Mm. Yeah, and I found it interesting when Joe was saying, that's not my burden anymore, my moral burden, because Simone knows and she's still choosing to stay. And so a part of me is like, that's kind of, in terms of Simone and Dan's relationship, all you can really do. She's decided to stay and that's kind of the end of your involvement.
Yeah, but Simone thinks that it's over. Like Simone didn't know that they then continued to see each other. And so Simone doesn't know the whole truth. And I think Joe's kind of saying like, oh yeah, like, Joe's like, oh yeah, Simone knows that we've slept together in the past, but Simone forgave Dan thinking that that was in the past when at that time it wasn't, which is wild.
You're right. My silly little brain forgot that bit. That, oh yeah, they kept going.
They kept going. Years.
And the pregnancy as well. Like, she kept that from her.
That, and that's huge. It's honestly just so hard when it comes to secrets like this and stories like this, because I'm like, it happened for 4 years and this whole saga is just so beyond anything I can imagine.
Mm. Cheating for 4 years. Hi, Joe. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for being vulnerable. The thing that I don't necessarily agree with is it's almost like she is making the decision for Isaac to kind of be like, it's best for him if he doesn't know. I've changed, so everything's fine now. You have to give your partner the respect to decide on their own terms.
Yeah.
Even if you will never cheat again, I do think it is pivotal for him to know that for the first 4 years of your relationship, you have been cheating. It's 4 years of being with a partner, and that has become the foundation of your relationship, whether you like it or not. Dan is now a fabric of that foundation, and I do think you owe it to Isaac to tell him.
Yeah, because that could very well change what he wants to do, and that's his right, you know.
That's his right, but he has to make that decision for himself. Exactly. You can't make that decision for him.
Yeah.
Because in her defense, she's saying, I was still really new to the relationship with Isaac, but once I knew I loved him, something had to give and she chose him. So that's sort of, she's like, in my defense, it was early days, so I have to say something.
So then say exactly that to Isaac and then let him make the decision.
That is so messy, Joe. Again, Joe, thank you for writing in, but Joe, I don't know what to tell you. Obviously, we're telling you that if you love Isaac, you've got to give him the truth.
Does doing the work equate to never cheating or making the same mistake again?
They'll tell you, like Esther Perel, for example, has all these takes that kind of oppose the once a cheater, always a cheater theory. Because it's like, if you do the work, then that's growth. And then you become a new person, a changed person. I do believe that. I do think people can change and people can make mistakes and come back from it. But it's really hard to believe that when you're reading a secret like this. If I'm thinking from Isaac's position, to think that she won't do this again. Thoughts, Louis? What do you think?
I agree. I don't believe the statement, once a cheater, always a cheater. Mm. I do think context is important and everyone's stories are very different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking in terms of Isaac's perspective. If I were Joe, I would tell Isaac. And then from there, it's up to Isaac and whether he trusts Joe not to do it again.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's all he can do. Is like, if he truly trusts his partner that she won't do it again, then so be it. And if he doesn't, so be it. It's obviously a tricky one because we keep going back to 4 years, but 4 years is a huge chunk of time, especially when you're talking about planning trips together. And obviously with the pregnancy, there are just so many emotional layers to this as well. Like, it's beyond just the physical opponent.
Mm. It's a full-on relationship. It's a life, like, outside of the life you're creating with Isaac and Simone, respectively. It sounds oversimplistic when you say it, but given the context, I think it really is true that the truth will set you free.
I genuinely think it's that simple to be like, you need to tell Isaac if you truly love him and respect him. Let him make the decision himself, and then the ball's in his court if he trusts that you won't do it again.
If he trusts that the work worked.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's something that only he will know because it's only you two in the relationship.
Mm.
If he believes as though this could happen again or that like he can't come back from the 4 years of your affair with Dan, then that's also his prerogative as well.
Yeah.
But I do think you need to let your partner make that decision for himself and not keep anything from him.
Yeah, because if you do respect him, that's what you owe him. Guys, it's time to wrap up today's episode. I could feel a bead of sweat dripping down my face, so it is really time to wrap it up. That is it for today's episode of Everybody Has a Secret. Louis Hansen, thank you.
Hey, thanks. And thanks, everyone, for submitting your stories, even though they are tricky and tough, and I appreciate it.
You take us on a whirlwind, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And producer Ruby Hall, thank you so much for reading out three big secrets today. Ooh, Everybody Has a Secret is produced by Ruby Hall, Zara McDonald and Michelle Andrews and executive produced by Lucy Hunt. Guys, to those at home listening, thanks for being here. Thanks for supporting the show. If you have a secret you're itching to spill, feel free to submit it to us at everybodyhasasecret.com.au. Everything we read will, of course, be kept completely anonymous. As for socials, you know the drill. You can find us at Everybody Has a Secret Pod on Instagram and on TikTok. It is Everybody Has a Secret. That's all from me. Time to open the door. Goodbye.
This podcast was recorded on Wurundjeri land. Always was, always will be Aboriginal land.